Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder and CEO, Squeaky.com, Jenny Q. Ta.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Angela McCluskey. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I was inspired because of our guest today to share a story with one of my clients, actually two of my clients. So the first client came in sharing more of his daddy did this and daddy did that. And I could tell he had come to the place where he had worked on a lot of his daddy issues. And now he was trying to actually be a business person. And daddy wasn't much of a business person, and his brother this and his uncles that and his grandfather this and that. And so he kept sharing these old stories that he no longer needed to process. But he'd laugh and say, oh, this reminds me of when daddy did this or what have you. And I said to him, how are these stories at this point, now that you've dealt with so many of your issues, how are they serving you now? And he said something to the effect of, well, I don't have any good stories. This is my life. And I said, well, you know, let's create some good stories, because 20 years from now, you could be still sharing these same stories. And where will they have gotten you? Maybe 20 years from now, if you start creating different stories today, well, how can I do that? And I said, well, what inspires you? And this is the conversation that I had with another client of mine who wants to also be a business person. And I said, you know, in her case, she's a woman. And I said, you know, would women who have succeeded in business inspire you? And she said, oh, yeah, I'd be inspired by that. I said, were there any women who succeeded in business around you in your life? And she says, no, never. My mother was a housewife, my aunt this and that. And I said, okay, so let's find them. Let's find the ones that inspire you, whether they're culturally connected to you or whether you're inspired because of the field that they were in. I said, let's make these the stories that you not only read about, but you share. You share with me. You share with other people. So years from now, this is your legacy. All of these women that have done strong things, powerful things, successful things, this becomes your new story instead of sharing about the women and even the men that were not business-minded and that weren't successful, etc. We will have new stories 20 years from now. So Jenny Q. Ta is our guest, who obviously created her own story for her future and is still creating story, not just for herself, but for many people. And talk about stories, actually, our musical guest as well comes with an amazing story of becoming her own person, Angela McCluskey. What a great combination of two powerful women here in the studio on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Lejeune.
Wow, every week it's different.
You like that? Lejeune?
The pronunciation. You know, this is a great show because I think it's a placeholder for what we need more of. There are, I'm sure, many more power women in influential positions than we are aware of, but they don't get enough recognition, and they're not in a position to, those that aren't in a position to be inspired by them. So to have the opportunity to bring our guest on and inspire is exciting.
Right. And what I also love about this is there are a lot of women out there that think, well, you know, daddy was rich and daddy put her in this position, or daddy did this, or mama, or what have you, or they came from money. This is not the case with our guest. We can assure them of that.
Absolutely. Well, powerful story.
This is why we are calling our show Redefining Women in Business. Our guest is a veteran Wall Street self-made millionaire and founder of two tech companies. We're going to learn a lot more about her. She is Jenny Cutaw, and we're pleased to have her on the show. Welcome, Jenny.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, it's a pleasure. And I should say, you're also fun, and you're funny, and you to be able to combine all of who you are and succeed in the way you did, my hat's off to you, and thank you.
Well, let's keep that a secret. Not many people think I'm fun.
Oops, okay, sorry. Okay, well, I promise not to be funny if you promise not to be funny. So, you know, one of the things that inspired me about you the most was I read something about you, and I wanted to start here, that said, don't be afraid to be a strong woman, or how, something about if you're in the boardroom and men are cussing, then when you talk, start out cussing. You know,
exactly.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been in male-dominated fields all my life, Wall Street, now tech and venture capital. So, of course, I've been to many, many, many boardrooms. And most of the time, the boardrooms would be full of men. Mm. You know, I may be the only woman most of the time, or sometimes there would be a second woman, but that second woman would be like a secretary and taking notes and stuff. Mm. So, of course, I'm always respectful, you know, when I walk into a boardroom, because that's common sense that you need to, you know, learn about your enemies before, if they're nice and they're you be nice to them. And if they start to act up, then you gotta, you know, go with the flow. So most of the times, boardrooms are great, you know, respectful, and, you know, but sometimes, especially if the boardrooms were held on a Monday morning, because we don't know what the men do over the weekends, lots of drinking or whatever the case may be. So there were a few times in the boardrooms where, you know, halfway through there would be cursing and cussing words and stuff, not at me, but like they were just saying, well, you know, like, you know, S this or F that, or, you know, on the situation. So it depends on the certain situation. But then as a woman, okay, and I've met many, many women, you know, I would ask them in perspective, what would you do in that circumstances? You'd be surprised. 7 out of 10 women that I've talked to would stand up and just leave. I don't do that because why do you do that? Because you'll be the only one that's leaving the boardroom when it's not finished. Mm. No other men are standing up to leave. Mm. So if you wanted to be in a male, men dominated career, you have to have tough skin. Mm. So then they turn around, they say, well, Jenny, you know, what would you do? And I say, well, it's not that what I would do. I've done it before. So I would just, you know, I wait for my turn, of course, because sometimes in the boardroom, you know, you kind of got to wait, or you wait until someone asks you, what do you think, Jenny? Or, you know, Jenny, what are your thoughts? So sometimes I would sarcastically start out and say, well, you know, well, fuck, you know, you know, we're going to start with this or that. So by saying that, I sort of blend in with the boys. And sometimes when I start out with that word, you know, all of the men would just, like, you know, they all woke up and say, okay, you know, like, it's like they're shocked, but they're shocked in one sense that, oh, did she just do that? Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, sometimes, you know, one of them would say that, why not? We can do it. She could do it. So some of them would ended up protecting me, defending me. And so it's interesting. And I've done that a couple of times, and every time when it's done, you know, nothing, no harm was done, and I like it. And so that's what I believe. It just blend in.
That's how Filippo talks every board meeting.
Well, I'm sure, I bet.
You should come sometime, Jenny.
Yes, I
right
will.
In.
There you go. I'll start that word in every sentence. So
We weren't supposed to be funny, remember?
I know. Shh, give it a push.
I didn't told myself out loud.
So what I think is fascinating here is your story leading up, because we have a lot of people that out in the world, and women as well, who are saying, well, this is how I did it, and they tell this beautiful story of how they worked hard and it all happened and all that stuff. But a lot of times we don't get what's really going on inside, and sometimes that helps us more, because then we can say, oh, wow, if she could feel that way and become what she became, maybe I can become that too. That's mm-hmm. that's where I resonate. Mm-hmm. So when I heard your story, and I don't know how deep we want to get into this, but can we go back to like 7 years old? Mm-hmm. Where was your father?
Well, my father was a prisoner of war at the time. So he was a prisoner of war when Saigon fell, which was 1975.
In Vietnam.
I was about 3 or 4 years old at the time. So, and you know, since birth, my mom told me, because the war was going on. So literally, after I was born, I never really had a father figure.
Hmm.
Not because my dad did something bad. He went and he defended his country. Hmm. So it's something of courage. And then the South lost. And so my dad was part of the military from the South, fight against communism. Of course, when Saigon fell, communism won.
Mm.
So then my dad was a prisoner of war for over 13 years. So my mom was a mother, a father, and a teacher to my brother and myself as I was growing up. So all that actually gave me the strength also.
Strong woman right
exactly.
there.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So it's sort of like, you know, I didn't have a father figure. But that doesn't mean that I needed a father to be strong. My mom taught me that, you know, strong is coming from your inner self. If you wanted to, you know, make it in life, you have to do it yourself. No one's going to do it for you.
Wow.
And so I believe I took some of those words and took action with it. And I just ran with it.
Wow. Well, soon after that, after the age of 7, you ended up on a boat. And this story really got me. And I can't wait for Jenny to share with you all, because it really, to me, signifies what we could come from and what we could become. I think we will experience in her story like the spectrum of this whole possibility. So we'll be back with our guest, Jenny Q-Ta, after this and a little later on, live music here in the studio with Angela McCluskey, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down, I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Jenny Qtaw. She is a veteran Wall Street self-made millionaire and founder of two tech companies. But last we left our heroine, she was wafting on a boat in the water. What was that about?
Well, it's similar to what we're going through today, but just different parts of the world. Refugees on a boat, trying to, escape their country for whatever reason. At the time for Vietnam, of course, it was political reason. So we were drifting on a boat, and we were helped by a Holland ship who took us to a Hong Kong refugee camp at the time. And it was from there that that I stay, I believe, a year or 2 years before I was sponsored by an uncle to Fresno, California. And that was where I grew up, and I was raised there and graduated from college there as well.
Well, I can't imagine. There are so many stories I'm sure you could tell us about the year or two in the camp. Somehow you got to make it here, and thanks to your uncle. What You couldn't have had all that much money. You couldn't have started off with the silver spoon in your mouth, as they say.
Absolutely not. Certainly, I grew up extremely poor at the time. My mother, a single woman, raising my brother and myself. My brother is 2 years older than me. We were on welfare. We live in housing complex offered by the government. On welfare at the time, if I'm not mistaken, a month my mom would receive about $60 or $80 worth of food stamp. And wow. To those who do not know what food stamp means, is you can only buy food with it. You cannot buy clothing or whatever. And they also give us a little cash, enough to pay for that housing that they gave us, but of course it's much lower than apartments and stuff. And then if we spend right, we probably have less than $40 to buy, hamburgers or fries. So I never really had the opportunity of eating that much outside food, because that much a month, which my mom had to go to a city college to learn English as a second language. Because without speaking English, she would never get a job.
Right.
But she did, so that she could get a job to make a little bit more money. But before all that happened, we were able to use just enough money to buy food for the month. I share this story a lot with a lot of the startups that I'm mentoring for the last few months, being a VC.
Mm-hmm.
Was that at the time, there's one story I share a lot, is that, and I still get emotional whenever I share it, is how my mother always take me to Thrifty Store or the Salvation Army, which of course their secondhand clothing store.
Right.
So even on my birthday, my mom wanted to get me new shoes. We can't go to a brand new retail store to buy new shoes.
Wow.
That pair of new shoes would be at the Salvation Army. So if I was wearing a size 6, of course, they don't have the right size shoes for you at those secondhand store. So mom would always buy me a size larger, like a size 7. So then when I would run or when I get into a competition to race, I would never win because when I run, the shoe would come out.
Wow.
So, I mean, things like that, that I feel that, from there to where I'm at today, I'm extremely, extremely blessed because it's just an unbelievable journey. And I'm very much of a faith believer. And I believe that I was it was meant for me to work hard, to get to where I am today.
You must have had an attitude of sometimes soon it'll get better, or I can make it better, or this will never happen again. What was that attitude that kept you going?
Well, I remember that, you know, when I was about 14 or 15, preparing to get that driver's permit when you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
As kids, we would be talking about cars. Even at that young age, I was, and still today, I'm the type of woman who loves cars. Like, I would rather
nice.
Buy a Bentley than a diamond on my finger. And
nice.
I do have Bentley, not to brag, but given where I came from, I wanted to say that
yes.
because you can't see me. And so the words, you know, coming out of my mouth makes a difference,
yeah.
you know. So, and I'm proud of what I've done. Because,
but I have to say, she yeah. didn't bring the Bentley to the show.
I
that
would
have been too showy. She brought the Mercedes. That's all.
A couple notches lower, but that's all right. We're not supposed to be funny, remember?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so I believe I never had the intention or the thought that, you know, I got to get through this, or like when I was young, you know. Mm-hmm. I just knew that if I want something, Mom told me that I have to go get it, you know.
Mm.
The only thing that Mom required of me was that before I leave the house, fly away,
mm-hmm.
I need to give her a 4-year degree, a piece of paper, which was the diploma. So she said, the quicker that you can give it to me, you're welcome to go wherever you want, you know. So even though I did, I graduated with a BS in MIS, information system.
Mm-hmm.
But I never left Mom, you know. So Mom was always with me, because who would take care of Mom, you know? And it's Mom.
Mm.
So she was always
nice.
With me. So I've always had a very, very strong mentality that if I wanted a car, which I did by the time that I was 16, 17, I bought a used BMW. See, I knew about cars way back then.
Yeah.
Not a Toyota, not a Honda, not a Nissan. It's got to be a BMW. So even though it was used, but I got the brand right.
You got the brand right.
I got the brand
right. And it was a stick.
It was a stick shift. That is correct.
So the funny story is that you didn't know how to ride a bicycle.
Nope. Because Dad wasn't around to teach me, you know.
But you went from not knowing how to ride a bicycle to driving a stick
shift. Exactly.
BMW, no less.
Yep.
Well, you, through your VCing, you work and inspire a lot of people. And so I'm glad to hear that you share these stories with them. I think they're profound and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of feedback are you getting from people as they hear your stories?
You know, well, I've made a lot of impact with a lot of, you know, startups and entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke at the IEEE, which is an engineering conference. They've been doing it for decades up in Silicon Valley just last month. And there, everywhere I speak, I would have, you know, certain groups who would be attached to me.
Hmm.
You know, I rarely give out my mobile phone number, but there are a few you know, ask enough that I do share.
Mm.
And then, you know, I would mentor them.
Mm.
But these people who are very attached to me because they found my story amazing, unreal would be the word.
Mm.
And for me to have gone from, you know, from that very, very low point, and keep in mind, you know, I am Asian American. I'm not white American. You know, and when you work on Wall Street, you have to be a man. That's it takes president. I mean, that's like top notch level. And then, you know, below that would be, you know, if you're lucky, there would be white women and stuff. But I'm an Asian female, which is like very, very rare.
Mm.
It's very, very hard to climb the corporate ladder. But I believe that I've, you know, made a a name out of myself by being probably the only woman to this very day to have founded two broker-dealers. That's like a small Goldman Sachs, just in case some of your audience wasn't sure what's a broker-dealer. It's not a real estate brokerage firm. Those are a lot easier to do.
Tell them, Jenny.
Yeah, so these are like a small Goldman Sachs, so a lot of licenses you have to take. You have to abide to the SEC, that's the Securities Exchange and Commission, and FINRA and all these kind of stuff. So I was very proud to have done that.
You know, I wish people could see her right now, because when I said, you tell them, Jenny, because she was holding her hands up in this and she's pumping them. You got to do this and you got to do this. And I'm like, you go.
And I'm tiny. I'm only like 5'1" and a half.
You're hardly tiny. You walk in and this big personality walks in. Actually, can we talk really quickly about Wall Street Cinderella?
Sure. Okay. So Wall Street Cinderella, by the way, nobody can have because I trademarked it, so it's mine. Okay. Somebody tried to do Cinderella.
Just in case.
Okay. Somebody did the reverse, Cinderella Wall Street, but I think it doesn't have the flow.
No.
Wall Street Cinderella, I trademarked that. So I pen a book with a co-author in New York. So the book has an ISBN. I was going to release it about a year and a half ago because we're done with that. And then a group of movie producers, independent movie producers, heard about my story. And they said, Jenny, hold back the book. Let's start on the script, you know, because and so I held back the book because I wanted to, make sure that the book and the script kind of like goes together in a sense where if there is going to be a movie, I want a lot of drama in there where my book may not have drama. So I may edit the book a little bit, because to benefit the movie. Mm-hmm. So that's still in the works. But the script is done. So
nice.
I'm kind of excited for that next stage.
Exciting. Well, we look forward. We'll have to know about it so we could share about it as well.
Exactly.
Or maybe have another conversation on it.
There you go.
Yes. Well, when we come back, we want to know about Squeaky. Am I saying that right? How would you say it?
Squeaky clean.
Oh, squeaky? No,
yeah,
you know what
squeaky.
I'm talking. Squeaky?
No, yeah.
Okay,
so,
squeaky. Squeaky, okay.
Yeah, squeaky,
okay.
Like squeaky clean.
Okay, squeaky. All right, yeah. So I should say that's pronounced S-Q-E-E. I mean pronounced. The website is S-Q-E-E-Q-E-E.com. And I am reading it right off of the bosom of her shirt. You'll see it in the pictures. We'll be right back with Jenny Tan a little later on. Live music with Angela McCluskey here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Jenny Cutaw. Now, she is a seasoned entrepreneur with two successful ventures to her credit. She was the founder and CEO of Titan Securities, a full-service investment firm that was acquired in 2005. And prior to funding Titan Securities, she was the driving force behind Vantage Investments, a full-service broker-dealer startup, like she was telling us, which was founded in 1999 at the age of 20. And grew to $250 million in assets. So now she's on to something else really exciting. Actually, she's on to other things too that we can't talk about, but this we can. It's Squeaky. Tell us about Squeaky.
Squeaky is pronounced like squeaky clean, but the spelling, I made it a little bit different, is S-Q-double-E, another letter Q, and then double E.com, so squeaky.com. Basically, squeaky.com is a social platform that my team of coders and I literally built from scratch all of the features from other individual sites, such as, for example, we all know Facebook is a social platform. Mm-hmm. We all know Amazon, eBay is e-commerce. Mm-hmm. We all know YouTube is video. Instagram is photo. Kickstarter is crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. Groupon is coupons. Mm-hmm. Periscope is live streaming. Now, I just mentioned 7 or 8 brands, very large brands. Mm-hmm. Each of those platforms are on its individual site. So meaning you would have to have 7 different logons.
True.
And 7 different passwords to go into those 7 platforms I've just mentioned.
Right.
So how entrepreneurs, we become entrepreneurs is when you see a problem, because to me that's a problem, okay? Mm. You try to resolve that problem. So that was when Squeaky was born in 2010, so about 6-7 years ago. Mm. Orange County Register did an exclusive on me. Mm-hmm. So you can Google Orange County Register, Jenny Cutaw, or squeaky.com. You will see that front page feature. And I literally hire teams of coders, and I do mean teams, plural, because it's a very complicated platform. And we literally built each of those features that I've mentioned under one roof. So
wow.
One logon, one password, you can socialize, you can monetize, you can sell, you can crowdfund, you can create a coupon, which is Groupon. We also have live streaming, and I've also created a game called Squiggy Piggy. So, and you know, because Facebook had a game called Farmville way back then.
Uh-huh.
So, Squiggy Piggy is the game for Squeaky.
Okay. Well, I should mention the Orange County Register might have gotten the first exclusive, but since then, CNN came a knocking, and Entrepreneur Magazine, and Forbes, and Fast Company, and VentureBeat, and all these, the Huffington Post. You've been featured, and you've been talked about, and there'll be more featuring and more talking about as this comes out. Oh, yes, and you know it, and more power to you. What a pleasure it is. Oh, I shouldn't say that. It's been very... very nice speaking with you.
Well, thank you so much. I've had such a great time, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to speak to your audience, and I'm grateful and very blessed. Thank you so much.
We're grateful and blessed too. And again, Squeaky, I'll be checking it out. SQEEQEE.com. As a matter of fact, I'm so sure that I'm going to be on there. I think you all should find me on there at SQEEQEE.com. Pronounced Squeaky. And I'll be checking out Squeaky Pig. And now, one of our favorite segments of the show, the Ask Dorothy segment. Mark?
Absolutely. We got a quick shout out to our friends at Cognitive Leap, a really interesting company that is an intelligent platform for early assessment of brain health problems utilizing ecologically validated and data-driven technologies. They're partnered with leading hospitals and senior care centers in both the U.S. and China to provide UCLA prevention center programs. Go to CognitiveLeap.com. Dorothy, Teresa from San Diego says, my question is, how can I stop having to hear the negative feedback and comments from my ex? He is constantly calling me and emailing me and never has anything nice to say. I'm over him, but he still says he loves me and he makes me feel guilty when I say I don't want to talk. What is my lesson here?
Teresa, I'm so happy to know you're looking for the lesson in this situation. The lesson here is for you to love and respect yourself and to say enough is enough. When one respects oneself, one establishes healthy boundaries. It is time for you to tell him that you no longer have any need to communicate with him, and if he continues to call, you can simply block his phone number. As for his emails, you can hit the delete button. Once you stop engaging with him, he will eventually go away. As for him making you feel guilty, guilt is a gift you can refuse. No one can make you feel guilty without your acceptance of an emotion that does not serve you, and it doesn't serve him either. So let's find a way for you to truly love yourself enough to set yourself free by taking your personal power back in this situation. Choosing to let go of guilt and by blocking his phone number and deleting his emails without reading them will be a great start to the journey towards self-love.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, simply write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. That's askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. We will be back here on the Life Changes Show with our musical guest, Angela McCluskey, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Jenny Cuta. And joining us in the studio is Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Angela McCluskey. Welcome, Angela, to the show.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good. I got to see Angela perform the last time she was in Los Angeles, and what a pleasure it was. Somebody actually says it in one of their quotes. She completely commands the room and draws you in. Mesmerizing is actually the word that Norman Reedus used. I would have to agree.
Well, thank you,
Norman. Where does that come from?
I don't know. It's just your, you know, it's like I was just outside talking to your son and he's mesmerizing. What age is he, eight?
Nine.
And it's just, I think it's just an inbuilt charisma of some sort where you can talk to people. The audience are always one person to me. That's my secret.
You know, I did hear about this of you. That's interesting. I did hear this about you, that you've always been like this. You always attracted attention to you. I heard that at the show. I really did. And so what was great also about the show is that you were telling us stories about songs that were written like three blocks from where the venue was.
Yeah,
this is real.
Yeah, it's real.
And that you were telling your musicians at every experience that you had, you'd say, let's sit here and write a song in this place, wherever you were or whatever. What were you trying to conjure? Or what were you feeling? What was going on?
I love these crazy questions. What were you trying? I think any kind of art or creativity, nobody thinks about it. It just comes through you at a certain point. It could be in the middle of the night. It could be, for us, we were locked in a building that night.
Right.
We had a guitar, you know. So we did that. And I just started writing songs. It was the first time I realized I could write them. So I wanted to write them every minute. So we were literally on the sidewalk on Fairfax when the guitarist started playing something. And I just started singing. And I thought, this is easy. I thought it would be really difficult, you know. If you've never written a song, you might think, well, how do you write a song?
Sure.
You know, and it's actually, if you have a melodic ear sense and you're pretty good at putting words together, that's what I did. And I was like 1, 2, 3, 5 songs in like 3 days.
Nice.
And that was the first record, yeah.
And great songs at that. And wow. And so, but that, and also that resonated with people, not only at the time, but I believe that it's, there's something getting stronger. Is that...
Well, when we were doing that, I had a club in LA called Angela's Big Night, and it was at the Cafe Largo, which is now bigger, but it used to be across from Cantor's. And it was just a little sing-song. It was just a night where I would have guests. I had no intention of being a singer or even thought about it. Mm. I came here, I'd studied, you know, acting, painting, all that nonsense, and I got the job with the golden handcuffs with loads of money, and we worked at EMI. And when I came out here, the last thing I was thinking, you know, was I was going to be a singer. I was 29. It was like, you know, you need to be like 18 and sort of like built like a stick. So I just did it for fun. And after about 6 or 8 months, we just kept getting all these record companies coming, and I was illegal. So I kept saying no.
this was
a long time ago. I kept saying no. Wow. And they, of course, thought I was playing games. So the money was going up, up. And I had like 5 deals. And I eventually said to my husband, you know what, he's American. I said, it's Wednesday. I said, we have to get married on Saturday and we'll sign the deal on Monday. So we signed with Geffen on a Monday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So my workplace was the Cafe Largo every Wednesday night. And it was amazing because people would come from far and wide. Girls would come on their own because they knew it was then every week. They didn't have that kind of thing in LA then. I kind of brought it from London and I had everybody in that room, from Bono to like Harry Dean Stanton started singing there again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I used to sing with them and he would forget the words and blame me. It was always really funny. And he called me the foreigner. Where's that foreigner?
And
she's
of course
terrible.
You could take it because you come across as this really strong woman, like you know yourself and you're gonna and the audience is gonna know you.
I'm who I am. I've got a very strong personality, but they always say when you're a musician or a singer you're looking for attention. I was the oldest of 4 kids, so I was always like being the boss. It was a boring nightmare, but so I'm not scared of people, basically. You know, an audience doesn't scare me. I'm more scared of, like, you know, one person than
one person in the audience.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is pretty scary.
If I see somebody like texting, that's the sort of thing that really scares me.
we're gonna get to hear a song and then we're gonna talk a little bit more, but what are we gonna get to hear first?
A little song called You and Me, which is came through my obsession with a French singer called Françoise Hardy. He was like a big 60s French pop star, you know, where the Rolling Stones used to chase around Paris and sit outside her door. You don't know who she is?
No.
Oh,
I think I need to find out.
Do neither of you know who Françoise Hardy is?
No,
I don't.
She's stunning. She had the fringe in the hair and she would sing really straight with a little mini skirt. And she had a little song called Tous les garçons et demi. It was really, really cute.
Okay.
I can't believe you guys. You have to do your homework.
Okay, so you were inspired by her. This song
I just love this song. Right. And the idea of Paris in the 60s. So
okay.
This is my idea of Paris in the 60s.
And it's called what again?
It's called You and Me, and it's from a record called The Roxy Sessions, which is now out on iTunes.
Nice. Okay. Well, here is Angela McCluskey live at Studio NoHo singing You and Me from the Roxy session on the Life Changes show.
Wish I knew what to say to you. I wish you knew how to do it too. Oh, baby, I know the sign. Oh, baby, I see the light. Oh, baby, come back to me just one more time. Give me that feeling. Give me that love. Give me that moment. Be a breath. Just you and me. Can it be just you and me? Je tout comprends. Je tout comprends. Tu sais, il y a dans le ciel. Oh, ma chérie, amour. Chérie, amour, c'est le tout dans l'air solitaire. On se dit qu'à 20 ans, on se dit qu'à 20 ans, la vie est brève.
Angela McCluskey singing You and Me from the Roxy Sessions. That is so much fun. You had Jenny Ta and I dancing in our seats. I would have loved to have gotten up. Everybody got up.
I know, we make it, it's a very, very part of my show that they have to get up. I don't like it when people, I mean, I don't force them, but hopefully.
Yeah.
And the music's kind of timeless. It's not like hip. It's not like hip-hop or techno or whatever. You don't have to be hip. Anybody can dance.
And what was great was everybody did, and also that people were dancing by themselves, and I thought, this is awesome.
That's what I'm all about. Dancing by yourself.
Right?
In Glasgow, the girls would get up in the clubs, and they would put their handbag down on the floor, and they would dance around their handbag.
Okay. All right, so you could learn more about Angela McCluskey at Angela McCluskey. That's A-N-G-E-L-A-M-little-C. Well, it doesn't matter. M-C-C, two C's, L-U-S-K-E-Y.com, AngelaMcCluskey.com. And this was the Roxy Sessions, and it features You and Me, the song that we just got to hear live here. So this was a little French, but
yeah, the album's very different. It's, somebody described it as genre,
right,
hopping, because
you have some EDM, right, as well.
Yeah, and I did. It was kind of inspired firstly by this, and then I did some music for Boardwalk Empire, and I sang some songs with Vince Guaraldano and his 16-piece orchestra for the show, and it was so much fun. But they were doing covers. Boardwalk Empire always, it was all covers, and I thought it'd be really fun to do originals. So yeah. I gave myself a little challenge. And I wrote four original sort of 20 songs. And Kiran Shahani, who's my producer, you know, partner, whatever, mixer, genius, he added some beats. So give it a little modern vibe. But still, you've got bam, 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 you know, get that old sort of 20s with the beats. And then it goes into like 70s James Bond, you know, the big horns. And then it goes into EDM, like, you know, my other band, Telepop Music, which is nice. The biggest band I've been in. That's the really big one.
Well, we have featured one of your songs on our website on the Life Changes show, where we posted all about you, and we posted the song, The Little Things, Big Gigantic. So right. Tell us a little bit about that. So what people see when they go see
Big Gigantic are, you know, the DJs that go around America, but only these two guys, they play live drums and live saxophone. So they're real players and the DJs. So they build up the tracks and then they play live in front of the audience. It's a bit more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And they just send you like a little hook of some sort, and then I sing over it, and then I send it back to them, and then they add it, and that's how the song's... But I don't tour with them, obviously. They tour like 300 nights of the year, you know.
Well, it was a big single. It exploded to number 3 on the global Spotify chart and was featured in Nike's new campaign on season 2 of Fox TV's hit show Empire.
It was on last night as well with NBC show World of Dance.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I missed it because I was... watching you.
So did I.
Watching you live. And that was awesome. Well, so we'll get to hear something else.
Yeah, this is called Paris to Hollywood. We're still hanging with Francoise.
Is this also featured on the album?
Yes.
The Roxy Sessions. Okay. Yeah. The Roxy Sessions is available through Bernadette Records.
Anything
that features music, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, you can go to AngelaMcCluskey.com and all the links are there, as well as some fun other fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear, once again?
Paris to Hollywood.
Just wanted to hear it
again.
Paris what? No, I really, how do you say that? Say it again.
Paris to Hollywood. What's so funny about that?
I
talk like that?
I wouldn't rather. No, I think you're talking just perfectly. So here is Angela McCluskey singing live at Studio NoHo on our show, The Life Changes Show, Paris to Hollywood, one of the songs featured in the Roxy Sessions.
For anything today, but thank you very much. If you got something you wanna say, hey, I'm listening, but just don't touch. I've been thinking about making it better. Shoo up, shoo up. I've been thinking about writing a letter. Shoo up, shoo up. Gonna take that train, make it so much better. Paris, France, to Hollywood, LA. Ain't no reason left to stay. Buying the cafe. He's watching, but just don't touch. He says everything I want to hear you say. And I think he might have the touch. I've been thinking about making it better. Shoo up, shoo up. I've been thinking about writing a letter.
Angela McCluskey. Go to angelamccluskey.com. That's Angela, A-N-G-E-L-A, McCluskey, M-C-C-L-U-C-K-E-Y.com.
All right, for sake.
What's that? We want them to go there.
Just look on the website here, or the spelling. Yeah.
Yes.
I have the show spelling my name.
Can I say something about your record that I love that was written? It's a record that celebrates coming through it all. The success, the failure, the heartache, and despair, and finding yourself being a little less dramatic about love and intent on just enjoying your life and being thankful for what you've got. And
did
that's
I write
something
that?
Worth celebrating.
I wrote that.
You wrote that.
It must have been high.
This is, but this is you. This is you, right?
This is me. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is me. It's definitely me.
I read this, and she's like, did I write that? I must have been high.
No, somebody sent me, like, a thing with little questions on it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you've got, like, 4 minutes to answer it. And sometimes you're in a really good mood, and you love life, and you write things. Like, if they got me the next day, I'd have been like, bleh.
Oh, send us those, too, actually.
Life changes, and it's a bitch.
If you get the opportunity to go see Angela McCluskey performing live, whether it's Los Angeles or New York or Glasgow, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Or Paris, Hollywood, wherever, you will enjoy, you will most likely dance, and like we did here in the studio. Angela, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Once again, AngelaMcCluskey.com. This has been a great, empowering show, and we're so grateful to our musical guest, Angela McCluskey, and our guest, Jenny Q. Ta. We want to thank Tess Cacciatore for being the guest co-producer of our show today by bringing in both our musical guest and our guest. And so thank you, Tess. We also want to thank Brent Hahn for making us all sound so good here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you, Brent.
Our technical engineer. And we also want to thank Doug Newsom for being our program manager,
yay,
BBS Radio Network. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leisure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.